My administration and our partners in Congress will continue our work to lower the cost of living and make America affordable again.
Affordability, they call it, was a con job by the Democrats. We did a great job on groceries and affordability. The only problem is the fake news.
There's this fake narrative that the Democrats talk about affordability. They just say the word. It doesn't mean anything to anybody.
Just about everything is down. You know, this whole thing is, they use the word affordability. It's a Democrat hoax. They're the ones that drove the prices up.
I have no higher priority than making America affordable again.
Lower prices, bigger paycheck, inflation, we're crushing it. The only thing that you use that's really going up big, it's called the stock market and your 401ks.
Not even a little bit. The only thing that matters when I'm talking about Iran, they can't have a nuclear weapon. I don't think about Americans' financial situation. I don't think about anybody.
Those are some recent comments by Donald Trump regarding the economy and affordability. Now, politics, of course, are one thing. Reality is often quite another. Facts are found in the numerous statistics that are released that address the U.S. economy. One of the most telling is the Consumer Price Index, also known as the CPI. It's a statistic released monthly, reveals a general rate of inflation growth from the previous month, as well as inflation rates for specific items and sectors that you might label as, necessities. This past week, the April CPI was released, and with us to examine what it reveals is senior economist with the Comparative Enterprise Institute, Ryan Young. Thanks for being here again, Ryan.
Thank you, Chris.
And to learn more about this focus, the many points of focus of the Comparative Enterprise Institute, their website, cei.org. So overall, we're looking at the numbers here, reading off the press release, the all items, and we'll get into, for you listening, how these are differentiated. The all items index rose to 3.8% for the 12 months ending April, after rising 3.3% for the 12 months ending March. And When you look at that number, Ryan, as far as what is desirable versus what is, how close or far off the mark are we?
We're almost at double the Fed's target. They shoot for an inflation rate of 2%, and we're at 3.8, so that's not good. And most of that has happened in just the last 2 months since the Iran war started. So the good news from that is that it's not anything the Federal Reserve is doing to purposely devalue the dollar. It's mainly energy price increases from the Iran war plus the lingering effects of tariffs.
I was going to say, it's not limited to energy. If you look at the food and energy, the housing, the out-of-home meals, everything, at least with a rare exception, I think produce might have been the only one, everything else had some tick up to some degree.
Yeah, food is especially concerning. Just in the last month, food prices increased 0.5%. And remember, if you're shooting for a 2% annual rate, you generally want that monthly rate to be 0.1 to 0.2%. We're at 0.5. So that is a big increase, whether it's more food out of home. We're seeing energy prices affect everything else, too. You need energy to ship food. Farmers need oil products or fertilizer. Those things are working their way through supply chains. So we had the immediate shock last month and this month, but as those effects work their way through supply chains, it's actually going to get even worse. So I'm afraid 3.8% might be the lowest we're going to see for a few months to come.
I saw some consensus of economists. I can't remember the source, unfortunately, but they came to a conclusion that they didn't say it as a certainty, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that 5% could be a hit number.
It's possible. I'm hoping not. The faster the Iran war ends and the more tariff restraint that the president shows, the less likely it will be to hit 5%. But yes, that certainly is possible if we continue with bad policy decisions.
You're asking a lot there, Ryan. Just want to let you know that.
Fair.
And speaking of food, like Ryan was, five of the six major grocery store food group indexes increased. Poultry, fish, yes, eggs, increased 1.3% over the month. Index for beef rose 2.7%, fruits and vegetables 1.8%, non-alcoholic beverage index 1.1%, even dairy increased 0.8%, And you combine that with, I saw a report a couple of days ago, a report on farmland bankruptcies for 2025. That number is going up. So if prices go up and buying gets less, the farming industry, as if they're not already under a strain, that strain is just going to get heavier on them.
That's right. And beef is the biggest ticket item there. And fortunately, once again, that is a supply and demand issue, not a Federal Reserve messing with the dollar itself issue. There's a big shortage in herds right now, and it takes time for cattle to reproduce. So that one's going to be with us for a bit. But 2.9%, keep in mind that's not year over year. That's in 1 month, where usually we want to see 0.1%, 0.2%. 2.9% in 1 month is evidence of a major shortage. So hopefully the cattle are fecund this year and herd size replenishes quickly. But otherwise, that is pretty harsh for farmers.
And we see so much of one feed into another sector. Cost of diesel means higher delivery costs to get the produce to the stores. And energy seems to be the end-all, blame-all. But as the report itself shows, there's widespread inflation in this. And to put it all just on energy prices, how serious is that overlooking what the true cause of all this is?
It's very serious. Energy ties into everything. Factories need electricity to run. Cars need gas, which affects shipping. If you do international shipping, whether it's via boat or via plane, that needs energy. If you're going to do business travel or take vacations, which affects tourism, that requires jet fuel. Everything requires energy. So that is a big deal what's happening right now. We're hopefully past the worst of the energy spike. What I'm worried is that prices are not going to go back down. I'm worried that they're going to sustain themselves at that really high level, and that can have a slowdown effect on the rest of the economy. And the longer it stays like that, the worse it's going to be.
And you think about going out to eat, everything that you have in your personal economic situation magnifies for dining outlets, restaurants, hotels, casinos, whatever the case may be. I mean, walk into a steakhouse where you thought, okay, it's a little pricey, but I could deal with a $30 steak dinner. Try finding that $30 steak dinner now. It'll be challenging. I'll give you a heads up on that. Talking with Ryan Young, who is senior economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. CEI.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. I mentioned that the CPI report has certain designations. What's the difference between the CPI number and the CPIU number? That's the all urban consumers number.
That is the all-encompassing number with everything. The CPI uses a basket of goods approach. You know, what do people buy? They'll say people use this much of their budget on housing, this much on food and clothing and all the rest. General CPI and CPIU use different basket of goods. People in cities live differently than other people do, so that's the main difference.
And unless you've seen the report listening, the numbers of both of those classifications went up, so that one was not doing any better than the other. And we were talking just a second ago about what lies ahead. Is there any cause for concern when you look at the producer price index, which also came out this past week, because that showed maybe even more of a shocking jump than the CPI did?
Yeah, the PPI was brutal, and that is a leading indicator, which means it's a sign of things to come. We're set over CPI going up 0.6% in April and 0.9% the month before that. Again, we want it to look at like 0.1, 0.2. Producer price index, we want the same level, but it was at 1.4, 14 times the target level. And that's what's happening at the wholesale level. That's what's happening further down supply chains. That shock is going to work its way through to consumers over the next few months. So when you see a big bump in the producer price index like that, you know higher inflation's on the way, because it'll take some time for it to work its way down to the consumer level.
We mentioned the war in Iran several times now, and equally, maybe even mentioned more, is, well, as soon as the war is over, everything will go back to the way it was. We were doing 1.8, 1.9% before all this happened. How realistic is that to expect a market structure to readjust itself with any kind of rapid speed?
It'll take time. We'll see stock market prices go up and down. The Federal Reserve meets every 6 weeks to adjust interest rates. And with the regime change with Kevin Warsh now in office as the Federal Reserve chair, they'll adjust as best they can, but it's going to take some time, and there's a lot of uncertainty ahead. So it's not just in the government level, but also with businesses as well. What do you do with investing when you don't know what your costs are going to be in 6 months?
And this would be a pretty heavy first test for Chairman Warsh, because his testimony in front of his confirmation committee was the Fed is going to be independent. We're going to look at situations. He wouldn't say whether he's devoted to raising or cutting rates. He said pretty much, we'll look at what the situation is and respond accordingly. The belief is that he's going to do what the president wants. What if he does that and does cut rates in light of what we have right now in the current situation? How much would that add to the weight on the economy?
Could add quite a bit of inflation. The president wants lower interest rates because he loves stimulus and easy money, which is nice. The economy is showing some trouble signs. Stimulus wouldn't hurt. But there's a trade-off to doing that, and that trade-off is higher inflation. Stimulus now means inflation later, and that is not a trade-off that most of the rest of the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors wants to take. So now that Kevin Warsh is in, he doesn't have to say nice things about the president like he did in a confirmation hearing when the president could still yank his nomination.
Yeah.
hopefully he will be as independent as his predecessor was.
Find out more about this issue. I know we laid a lot into your ears today and kind of fast, but you can spend a little more time with factual information at the website for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. That's CEI.org. He is our senior economist, Ryan Young. Ryan, thanks for helping us appreciate more about what these numbers mean, what they foretell, and fuel the voter and arm the voter with information that they can call out their elected leaders with to straighten this situation out. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.